Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's your friend and brother, Dylan Whitney, or Ibrahim, as I'm known by some circles. Welcome to Armchair with Ibrahim. No, I don't know. It's not a segment or anything, but my wife wanted to ask me some questions about being a revert and such. She wanted me to actually tell my story, but I don't feel like I'm ready to do that justice because there's so much to my story and I don't know how I would explain it. I can say it casually to people, but to actually publish a video or something, I think I would need some time to think.
So yes, guys, we're going to have a Q&A segment with my husband because, as you can see, he's a very shy guy for some reason. A big bearded guy with a shy personality. But anyways, I have 6 questions here for you, darling, and let's get into it.
Okay, I'm ready.
So the first question is, how would you describe your life before Islam?
Good question. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alih. Now, I mean, I was always someone who took life seriously and took truth seriously. I would say from a young age when the intellect very first started to form, not when it was complete and developed, but when it just began to develop at a very young age, I was very interested in truth and pursuing truth. All my life before Islam, I was trying to learn and discover more and understand. And I asked a lot of questions and thought I got answers and then found later and grew and, you know, my answers changed over time. But I would say generally before accepting Islam, I was always someone who searched for truth a lot. So, I mean, from the beginning, I began maybe around, I would say I identify around the age of 7 years old is when I really first started actively pursuing truth and asking a lot of really deep questions, and not in a casual pass-by kind of way, like asking an existential question in a very, you know, overnight, weekend kind of manner, but more of questions which burned in me for years, for a decade, before I accepted Islam, and continue to drive me to learn more and be curious yet today and continue to learn more.
Perfect. So our next question today is, what was your idea of God?
So anyone who's familiar with philosophy would know, or just general study of logic and epistemology would know, that oftentimes things are known by their negation. So we know things by what they aren't. And this is a very important principle in understanding anything, is understanding things through negation. So how I understood God, I guess I'll answer this question in two parts, how I used to understand God and how I understand him now. Okay. I understood God before Islam as in a very, not negative, but negating kind of a way. I'm surrounded with, you know, an environment where God is presented as sometimes a man with a beard sitting in clouds. This is something which any rational, intelligent person would be able to dismiss. That's not God. So I said, this isn't God. You know, and I was presented with the concept of a triune God, one which had manifested as a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And I was able to dismiss this rationally and say that this isn't God. Other concepts which I had given to me of God, I had rejected time and time again. So as I got older, and my intellect continued to develop, I eventually left Christianity and accepted various other kind of spiritual teachings, which I'd take on and try and study. That'll all come, I guess, in a longer explanation. But my understanding of God was always negating what I found him not to be. So we know what God isn't. We have understood what God isn't. But now we have to ask, well, what is the correct definition of God? Is God non-existence? This is the true position of an atheist, is to say that God is non-existence. Rather, saying God isn't a man in the clouds, God isn't a triune incarnation of God, he's not in the creation, he doesn't permeate the creation, he's not relatable to the creation. A lot of people will actually have this attitude without knowing how what word to put on it. So people are nowadays very weak in language. They don't understand the meanings of words. We don't agree on definitions of words. So that's where I was before. So I'd always kind of, and I would have identified as an atheist at one point, but I think understanding, with my understanding now, I'd always negated things that were not truly of God, and I always still believed in truth, but I just called it truth, and I think most people who call themselves atheists would agree with the truth, unless there are sophists and relativists, where truth is relative, and my truth, your truth, whose truth are we talking about? But I think most intelligent people would agree there is a truth, solid truth, that exists, and that's one of the names of God, Al-Haq, truth. If you agree that there is a truth, that there is a reality, you have at least some part in you that is still monotheist, that is still recognizing an attribute of God. So I'd say before Islam, I had mostly a negative, not negative, but negating relationship with God, of denying he's not this, he's not that. Similar to Ibrahim, who saw the sun, this is my God, and said, no, this is not, he fades away. Of course, that was just a way of him making dawah, using the rational mind with people, helping them understand. He never thought that it was actually a God at any time, but from what I have been taught. So I think that I've had that kind of an attitude of seeing something and saying, well, no, I don't think this is quite right, and this isn't quite right. And then when I found Islam, I read the Quran and had a complete revelation. So this is my understanding of God now, is God is love, God is mercy, God is personal, God is all-seeing, all-knowing, but he's nothing like the creation. He is Al-Haq. He is the one reality. Everything besides Allah, everything besides truth is falsehood. And that includes everything that exists. All creation is falsehood and illusion. And the one true ultimate reality is my understanding of God. Now, that got a little bit into kind of a theology lesson, but I hope everyone was patient with me on that answer.
So... that was very detailed and beautiful. But now to the biggest question that I'm sure everyone cannot wait to hear. And that is your journey towards Islam.
So what's the question?
How'd you came?
That's a long answer. How I came to Islam, that's a long answer.
We have time.
Maybe the viewers don't all have time to listen to me rant. And it would be disorganized, I think. I suppose the moment of me realizing Islam would be when I had opened the Quran and I read the Quran. I'd studied so much before. So much. I've looked into a lot of religions. Not in a casual weekend kind of weekend warrior. You see a lot of weekend warriors, spiritual weekend warriors, where maybe they read a blog and then all of a sudden they become enlightened, or they think that everyone is entitled to an opinion. So my opinion, my truth, and your truth, and everyone can just think whatever they want and it's all the same. I had dedicated a large portion of my time every day and every week for years, from when I was young, to pursuing these questions. Einstein once said, and I love this quote, he said, I'm not smarter than anybody, I just stick with the questions for longer. So I just stay on the questions. Everyone else has given up, and I stay on the same question. I keep chipping away. I've studied, the African religions, Native American religions. I studied under a pipe carrier of the Sioux Nation. I studied Christianity in depth, reading the Bible multiple times. I've spoken with Jewish leaders, Christian leaders.
Can you tell us a bit about what you learned and what you did between each religion?
That would be a long story.
Go
I
ahead,
think.
Honey.
That would be a very long story. I'd rather now just say that I'd looked at all of those things. Buddhism, Hinduism, Hinduism not as much, but briefly. New Age spirituality movements and many different kinds of philosophies. And studied a lot of history and historical philosophies and historical ideas in anthropology. And what happened when I accepted Islam was that I found a collection of everything that I'd understood to be true. And I found a refutation of everything that I thought was true but was actually false. And a clarification of everything that I knew to be false. So things that I thought were true that were true were made clear. Things I thought were true but were false was made clear. Things that I thought was false but was true was made clear. And things that I thought was false and was truly false was made clear in this one book. When I read the Quran, it had a profound experience on me. That's what I'm trying to say is I think that I needed that background in different religions, in interfaith study, in philosophy, in language, before I would be able to access the Quran and understand what it means, because some people read it and they don't get anything from it. They don't have the tools necessary to tap into it. When I read the Quran, it brought me to tears. It absolutely captivated me. I would read it and I wouldn't put it down until I had to go and do something, and then I would come back and I would read it until I fell asleep, and that was my life for a couple of days until I'd read it cover to cover. I never had an experience with a book like that. No book ever made me laugh, except for Shakespeare. But no book had ever made me cry. And the Quran made me cry a lot. And I was crying and crying. And I didn't cry very much. I wasn't much of a person who was very in tune with myself, despite my philosophical, and spiritual enterprises and attempts. I wasn't a person who would cry, who could cry a lot or had a soft heart, but I thought I did. But that's the nature of people.
So your next question is, what made you finally look into Islam?
Why did I look at Islam so late? Islam is the most practiced religion in the world. It has the most converts of any religion. It's the second largest religion by population, nominally, even though a large number of people are just a certain religion by name. When it comes to most practiced religion, Islam is by far the most practiced religion in the world. Why did I look at it so late? I don't know. I mean, that's a part of what I've wondered about. First, why would Allah guide someone like me? I'm not smart, and I'm not of particularly good character or anything like that.
She doesn't appreciate you saying that about her dad, so she's objecting.
I don't know why. And why I looked at it so late. I mean, I guess I can say now I needed those tools to access the information. If I looked at it earlier, who knows what would have happened. But I eventually just picked it up and looked at it. I just picked up and read the Quran. I don't know how exactly it happened. And I didn't understand Islam right away. Because you have to understand that I wasn't brought into a madrasa, a university. I wasn't brought into an environment to teach me about Islam, so all I had was the Quran, and the Quran is absolutely incredible and amazing, but it doesn't have all of the legal understanding, theological understanding, it doesn't have the seerah, I didn't even have much of a relationship with Muhammad bin Abdullah, mm-hmm. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I, you have to understand, this is just some kid who just read the Quran and was so taken by it that he said, and I, my shahada wasn't a shahada. I just said, I believe in this book and the God of this book. That was it. And I didn't have a shahada. I don't know when exactly I became a Muslim. I know when I had this experience with this book, and I just kept rereading it and looking at it and taking notes on it and just being astounded by it. And I eventually looked and started to learn more about the seerah, which means biography, the life of the Messenger of God, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God bless him and give him peace. And I slowly learned from there, and I learned more and more about Islam. And I eventually moved to Germany. I learned the German language. I continued to engage with German philosophy and German books in that manner. And I didn't begin an extremely deep study of the Islamic intellectual tradition until a little bit later. I had wonderful mentors who really cultivated and nurtured a spiritual development in myself. And my parents immediately noticed a difference.
So my next question is, how did you feel after your testimony of faith and your biggest fear?
Am I ranting too much with my answers?
No, that's perfect, Manny.
Okay, smooth. My biggest fear, because as I said, I had that moment where I recognized it, and I knew I had to follow it. I just didn't know what that meant. I still don't know everything that I'm supposed to do, but I knew that I had to follow this. I knew that it was real. Excuse me. And that was very terrifying. I'm not a person to not follow truth just because it's hard or because I don't want to. And I think that for a lot of people, that's the problem, is I don't want to inconvenience my life. I don't want to miss out on anything. I just want to try to maximize my own pleasures in this world, you know, have the most profound spiritual and you know, spiritual development has become a point of entertainment rather than a point of true submission to truth, of actual and sincere submission to truth. And I think that that's a big mistake. I think that true spirituality is sincerely following and humbling ourselves, having knowledge of God and knowledge of self. And there is no knowledge of self without knowledge of God. Because as Allah says in the Quran, He says that if you forget Him, He'll make you forget yourself. So we don't know ourselves until and unless we know God. And I think that this is my understanding so far of Islam, and understanding that this world is an illusion and a distraction, and it's a scary step to try and actually change and live a conscious life. What Allah says in the Quran, He says that human beings, we can be like lower than animals or higher than angels. The way He says it is that people who are misguided are like animals, they're like cattle, except they're even more astray. So those of us, you know, we all have an ability to understand. And if we choose to continue to live on autopilot with no conscious spiritual discipline, then we end up being lower than animals who don't have a choice. But if we break that mold and we become awake and we become in control of ourselves again, and we change our life and our actions according to what we know, it's scary, but you recognize the truth. That's the first step. And then you live the truth. That's the second step, and you're not perfect. You're going to fall back a lot. You're going to make mistakes. But you continue to affirm, this is the truth, and I'm going to try and apply it. You're not always going to do it perfectly, but this is the truth, and I'm going to try and apply it. And if you continue with that, I think then if God has given you guidance and grace and forgiveness and you know, honor, then you'll be higher than the angels.
So the final question. I wish I was the answer so we can have a beautiful story like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Khadija radiallahu anha. But last question. Who was the first person you confided in after becoming a Muslim?
Confide? What do you mean confide? Like, who do I tell I was a Muslim?
Yes. You know, the person closest to you that you felt that you could have told.
I didn't tell anyone for a while. So I accepted Islam while I was still in the States, and I eventually went to Germany because I knew that there was no Muslim community here. Where I'm from, there's absolutely no Muslim community. Many years after I accepted Islam, I discovered that there are some immigrant Muslims who live here, and actually one revert as well, and there are some Muslims who live here and there, but it's very, it wasn't public or visible to me, at least at that time. Years ago, we're more public and visible now, but there wasn't any visibility. I didn't know any Muslims, and I wasn't comfortable to confide to anyone here at all. So it wasn't until I went to Germany and I went into a mosque, and that was the first time that I met a Muslim. And it was among this group of Muslims in a mosque outside Heidelberg, Germany, where they had welcomed me in, and I prayed in congregation, and everyone there knew that I was a Muslim. And those were the first people who I told that I was a Muslim and who knew that I was a Muslim or had accepted Islam. And you know, they began to teach me certain kinds of things as well, some basics, and giving me advice and such, as everyone likes to do. And I was living in a house there with roommates, and there were some people who'd come from Muslim countries who were also Muslim, and I confided to some of them, and some of them were amazed because you know, they were one dear friend of mine in particular didn't have a very strong iman, and he wasn't practicing. He didn't have a strong faith, and he wasn't practicing very much. And when I told him that I was a Muslim, I told him some of my experiences and coming into Islam, he was really amazed by it, and he kind of latched onto me, and you know, we became good friends and had a lot of conversations and time that we spent together. And this was during, when I was living in Germany initially, this was during the influx of refugees and stuff, and may God bless all of them, grant them all Jannah, and make their time and life easy in this world. And I became good friends with a lot of African Muslims who'd come up. They had a refugee camp near my apartment there in Heidelberg. And so these were the first three groups. You know, the small mosque that was there in Heidelberg, the neighbor that I had who was a Muslim, and then some African brothers who had come and were living at the refugee camp that was a few blocks away from my apartment there in Heidelberg. These were the first people who'd learned that I was a Muslim. It took a while for me to tell my friends and my family, and there was a lot of gentleness with it and everything. I was very blessed with the reception, but of course there were, you know, some questions and curiosities which they had, as well as myself. Anytime you're learning something new, especially when it's something which is being systematically attacked and dismantled on a scale which I've studied a lot of history. I don't know of any time in history where an ideology was so systematically attacked as in the present time with the religion of Islam. You know, the population and the ideas have been under attack for 200 years. It's very, very sad. Since the time when Napoleon invaded Egypt and had a scholar beheaded every single day that he was there, and many different massacres where hundreds or thousands of scholars were killed at a time, and you know, the attacks that are being put, and propaganda and media control Yeah, so there's a lot of negativity around with this Islam, and this, of course, affected me. It affected my approach with people who knew me. And some people flipped like a switch. They had one opinion of me, and then now all of a sudden I'm telling them, hey, there is truth and we should follow it, and I think you should follow the truth too. And their opinion flipped from one side to the other. You know, this arrogant, this know-it-all kind of person, which is amazing because I was very argumentative and contrarian before I accepted Islam. I think I'm less so now, I'm not sure. But thanks for everyone who tolerates me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, wife. You tolerate me the most. And a good number of my friends have accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, because they knew me from before, they recognized me, and when I explained things to them, and God has helped guide them and soften their hearts and understanding. And there's a large number of my friends have accepted Islam. None of my family yet. Make dua for them. You know, pray to God for their guidance and for my guidance, please. Alhamdulillah for everything today. And I hope everyone has at least taken some benefit from it. May Allah renew our iman and strengthen our iman and make the shahada easy for us. And allow us to renew the shahada. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to renew your shahada very often until it becomes like a tree whose roots are so firm that it cannot be uprooted. So, you know, this is something that we re-engage with. We're not a people of isolation, but we're a people of engagement. And we engage people and we engage our own selves on a daily basis, hopefully many times a day. May Allah make it easy for us, grant us the tawfiq. Amen. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi.